May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
The scriptures this morning really kept me busy all week, thinking and thinking and thinking. As I read them over, I thought to myself, there's got to be more to this than what I'm reading. The whole part about Paul and the third heaven, I actually read it out loud to my grandson, and he said, Grandma, I never heard of more than one heaven. And I said, you know what? I never heard of more than one heaven either. And so that took a little bit of research. And I found out it took a little bit of research on your part, too, that was a very interesting passage. And I'm not going to tell you what it means, because I'm going to encourage that you too will take a moment. For me, it was on my phone. Look up third heaven and see what it is that Paul is talking about, because he's talking about something from his heart. And I don't think he meant it to be totally understandable. He was just excited and enthusiastic about sharing his love of God, regardless of how much pain and suffering it caused him. Now, Ezekiel says, the Lord said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. When I was a little girl, I don't think that God said exactly that to me, but I had very much a sense that God was talking to me, and that it was an honor and a privilege for me to share that with other people. Now, my parents didn't think that was such a big honor. And in fact, they thought maybe telling people that God was talking to me and that I was sharing this wisdom with other people wasn't really a good idea. And you know, on the way home from church, I would feel really sad and disappointed, because my parents would say, that's not the way we heard it in church. Where is it that you get this? You really can't go around telling the adults that God said. You really can't do that. And yet all of my life I had a sense of just wanting to share this story so much. And it was disappointing not to have the people in my family, not to have my parents or my sisters really want to hear what I thought about God and all that God offered to us and all the excitement that I had about God in creation. So when I read the scripture this morning that I just read for you, the gospel, about Jesus going to the sanctuary in his hometown. Now, this is Jesus, who isn't just an ordinary person telling an ordinary story. This is Jesus, our Savior, telling a magnificent story that fit right in with what they had been taught all of their lives from the scripture. And yet he knew more than what they had read. He knew all kinds of interesting things to tell them about the scripture. And so then when he heard the people around him talking and saying, who does he think he is? He's just an ordinary man. He's just a carpenter. He just lives down the street. His brothers and sisters, they come to the synagogue here too. He was so disappointed. Disappointed that he couldn't tell the story of God and all of the incredible things that were happening in his life, that would happen in their lives, that would allow them to be a part of the city of God for the rest of their lives. That they could be forgiven for all of their sins thanks to the gift that he was about to give to them. That he could explain so many things to them. But they didn't want to hear what he had to say. And the blessings that he could have given to the people around them who were sick, and the people who had demons within inside of them that he could have helped gotten rid of, he couldn't do any of that in his own town with his own family. And so he called the disciples forward, And he said to them, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out two by two. You'll need each other. You'll need each other's support because people may not want to listen to you. I don't want you to take anything with you. I don't want you to do anything but go to a specific house and stay there. Oh, you can wear your sandals, but no money, no food, no extra tunic. Just go. Just go with the word of God in your hearts. Just tell the story. You ordinary men, you men who have been fishermen, you men who have been tax collectors, you men who have been carpenters, you men, just go two by two, you disciples. And if someone doesn't really want to hear what you have to say, well, just dust the sand off of your feet and continue on. Don't get discouraged. Now, you see, here's me telling you the little in-between parts. Don't get discouraged. Don't just get discouraged. Continue on. Continue on to the next house that will receive you in and listen to what you have to say, that they too may be healed and saved and have a sense that they will be forgiven forevermore. Just continue on. You and I are ordinary people. Some of you may be more extraordinary than I know. But we all have an opportunity to listen to what it is that God has to say. What God has to say to me, or to Ezekiel, or to Paul, is just for us to hear, and then for us to share. Each of us has been given a task in a whole variety of ways. We just need to look into our hearts and say, what is it, God, that you would like me to do today? I've been doing a great many memorial services. The last memorial service that I did, the family, as they welcomed me in, said, we're not religious. We don't go to church. Their husband had died overnight, and they were really in shock and very, very uptight. And as I came in, they felt like the most important thing they could do was pick scriptures, and that the 23rd Psalm be the King James Version, and they had just specific things that they thought that I would insist that they have to be a memorial service. But as we began to talk, they began to tell the stories about their husband, about their stepfather, about the person they had lost. And as the stories began to grow, and as they began to tell them to me about a young man in a wheelchair who had lost his stepdad, and now he just didn't really know where to go. And this stepdad had been so awesome in taking care of him through all of his drug abuse and everything. And the daughter, the stepdaughter, and I use that term because it was important for them to have me know that he was their stepfather, that he didn't have to do the things that he did. Well, she really had a hard time with math, and she would go into the dining room and sit at the dining room table, and as a teenage drama queen, she would beat on the table with her fists and cry and wail that she couldn't possibly do this. And her mother would leave and slam the door, and her brother would go in the other room, and in would come the stepfather. And he would touch her gently on the shoulder, and he would say to her, let's get started. And for their whole high school year, he was right there with her. And for this young man named Martin, all of his life in the wheelchair, his stepdad was there helping to make life different. And Martin said his stepdad was so smart that no one else was that smart. And at his memorial service, he said, not everyone gets to be that smart. Not everyone gets to have that much knowledge. But for me, just being in the room, being around that much knowledge was a privilege. It was like he was a big fireball. and he just shot off little sparks that landed in people's lives. And in my life, I hope that that little spark will change my life forever. And I sat there in just quiet, and I thought to myself, Martin, you're talking about God. And of course, I had been told we weren't talking about God, but Martin was talking about God. He was talking about the big fireball with the sparks that went into each and every one of our lives. Since then, Martin and I have had many email conversations about what it was that he had to say and my understanding of what it was that I understood him to say. An opportunity to share the knowledge, to just be in the same room with that much knowledge. Wouldn't you think that the people in Jesus' town would have just rejoiced in being in the same room with that much love and that much knowledge? Sometimes it's just not recognized. I encourage you to tell the stories of Jesus. You don't have to have all the facts right, and it should be told from your heart and what it is that makes a difference to you about that story, about that love that surrounds you and cares for you, about all of the places that Jesus goes with you, and the very first thing we think, Phyllis fell and broke her hip, pray. Something else happened, make sure you pray. Whatever it is, pray, because Jesus, we know, will be right there. We will never push him out of our village. This is our village. We are the people of God who live here in Hollister. We have an opportunity to share in so many, many different ways this incredible love. May we have a sense that we have been called two by two to go out with the least amount of entrapments and nothing more than the Holy Spirit filling our lives to tell the story of Jesus' love. Amen.
Amen.